That song comes right out of a nearby passage that we're in. From when John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb," right? That's where your eyes need to be. And so, great song. Thank you for being here. Let's turn to John chapter 4. If you'll meet me there, John chapter 4. And we're going to, this message here, it's really a continuation of last time. We're still dealing with this conversation, and we're really, I've said this, that the Gospel of John, one of the things that's unique about it is that John records these important conversations that happened in the life of Jesus. So just imagine this, in a regular day in your life, you most likely, unless it's just one of those days where you stayed home all day, most likely you had several conversations throughout the day. Different people, maybe some conversations are short, some conversations are longer, but you're going to have these different conversations. And I just want to say this to emphasize before we get going today, why does John record these conversations? You understand, Jesus must have had like hundreds and hundreds and even thousands of conversations with people when he was on the earth. And John only has like a few select chapters to include the different things Jesus did. And he chooses to add in these conversations. So he doesn't just tell us what the Lord did and give us kind of the rundown of the story, which is good to know, but he actually recorded the conversations between people. And so we've been looking at the conversation of Jesus and the woman at the well in chapter number 4. And I told you this, that in the Gospel of John, there are 8 particular conversations that are highlighted. But what I didn't tell you is Jesus was constantly having a conversation with his disciples. He was always looking at them and talking to them. And so what we're going to see today is a conversation that takes place between while the woman at the well, while Jesus is dealing with her. We know that the disciples were gone to get some food. You remember that? And so then they kind of show back up, and we'll see this in a second. They show back up, and then the woman leaves her, and she leaves, remember? She leaves her water pot right there on the well. She doesn't need that anymore. And she goes back to the town, and between the time that she goes, the next thing you see is that a bunch of people come from the town to hear about Jesus. Between the time she left and went from the well back to the town, and the people coming to Jesus, between that time, the Lord sneaks in a conversation with his disciples. And I've studied it. I don't know how many times I've read through this. But this week, as I was looking at this, something clicked in my brain, and it's so good. So I hope to share this with you this morning. Again, it may not be new to you, but it is something that I think is new to me, because the conversation the Lord has with the disciples is kind of abrupt. It's kind of, you might even say it's a little bit short. And if you're, we wouldn't say, the Lord was never rude. We wouldn't say that. But it's almost as if you would ask yourself the question, why did he do that? Why did he say it that way? And so we're going to discover this hopefully this morning. I've called this Fruitless Errands. And I'm just telling you, this is one of those, most of the time the title is like, this is what you want to be, this is what you want to do. Today, it's not good to have fruitless errands. You ever been like doing stuff all day? You get to the end of the day, you're like, man, I accomplished nothing. Okay, that happens more frequently than we'd probably like to admit. We're tired, and you're like, how am I so tired? I didn't accomplish a thing today. Well, that's not good in the spiritual realm, right? And so we're going to look at this morning. So if you're in John 4, if you'll stand with me, and we're going to start reading here. Guys, I'm hearing a bit of a reverb or something. If y'all want to back me off a little bit. Y'all okay? Can y'all hear me okay? Maybe it's just me. Okay. Sounds good. Never mind. Sounds good. Who cares what I hear? It could be all the, well, I'm not going to say it. Could be in my own brain. You hear the reverb? Okay. Just a little tiny bit. All right, sorry to interrupt, but if I get that out of the way, then I don't have to worry about it and chase that squirrel, and so here we go. Appreciate those guys back there. We gave them a lot of new stuff to play with, so they're having fun today. All right, John chapter 4, and let's actually start in verse 1. There's a reason for this. We'll skip the middle, but I won't have you standing forever, but look at verse 1 with me. When therefore the Lord knew how that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. He must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Verse 8, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Notice down in verse 25. So now we have this conversation. If you're going, oh man, what did they talk about? Well, tune into the last week's message and you'll get that. We're going to move on. Verse 25. The woman saith unto him, and so here's something the woman understood, and it's important that you see this. I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. So the woman, you understand, she had a little bit of an understanding of some things before Jesus ever got there. Does that make sense? Okay, verse number 26. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? So now the disciples show back up. Let's look at verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. It's dinner time. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Now, if your Bible, then it should have a little paragraph marker. Is that right? So now we're continuing back to the story of the Samaritans. Did you notice it says in verse number 31, in the meanwhile? Okay, so something's going on. Now the Samaritans are showing up to the Lord now in verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So there's some there that heard the message from the woman. They got saved. Verse 40, so when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. We're going to look at this interesting timeline this morning. And we're going to warn, I hope to warn all of us, including myself, who've gone on many fruitless errands. Lord, we do thank you for the day, and I pray for strength to preach this morning. Lord, it's my desire, and I know the desire of our folks here, to hear from you. Lord, we want to hear from you. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd use your word in that way. Would you please help me to just clearly articulate what you've given me out of this passage. Lord, I pray it all be spirit-led. Lord, that your spirit would do the work both in preaching and in receiving the message. Lord, we pray that if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you as Savior, or doesn't have that settled in their heart and in their life, Lord, they, like this woman at the well, like many of the Samaritans in this passage, would understand that thou art the Christ. And they would come to you, Lord, and they would get saved today. We pray you do a work like only you can do, and we'll ask for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I tried to emphasize the timeline a bit, and I'm going to emphasize it again because there's so much going on in this passage that If you're not careful in reading and really thinking it through, you can sort of lose what's happening during all these different conversations. And so I just want to go back through it. The disciples, they all come, they're all down in the southern area of Judea. And that is where, if you remember, John the Baptist was. And John the Baptist was baptizing. He was pointing the way to the Messiah. He was pointing people to Jesus. And Jesus then shows up. And so he literally turns and says, this is, behold, the Lamb of God, right? And the disciples of John began to leave him and go to Jesus and be his disciples. And so Jesus, in his ministry, begins to baptize and make converts, and people are being saved and coming to him. And of course, it says that Jesus himself wasn't the one doing the dunking, right? It was his disciples that were baptizing for him. But the baptism is all about identification. And so these people were following Jesus. They were being baptized. They were then becoming his disciples. And it says there, when he knew that he had, basically this, when he had done the work he was supposed to do in that area, He needs to go back up to Galilee, because a lot of the ministry the Lord does, most of the ministry the Lord does, happens in Galilee, that area just west of the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias. And so he's got to head back that way. And I told you this, that, and it's evident in the story, that the Jews didn't like the Samaritans. You remember, they had a prejudice against the Samaritans, because the Samaritans were like half Jew, and it adopted a lot of the cultures, the Gentiles. And so the Jews as a whole just wrote off the Samaritans. In fact, they hated them. They didn't like them. And so most Jews, when going from Judea to Galilee, would just circumvent the whole area. They'd actually cross the Jordan and go north and then come back west and come back in. But Jesus said this, I must needs go through Samaria. He had a reason and a purpose, and he wanted to go through Samaria. For one, he wanted to meet the woman at the well. If you remember, he had an appointment with her that day. Now, she didn't know it, but she showed up right on time. And Jesus knew it, and he showed up on time. He had an appointment. But the overarching thought is this, while the Jews looked down on the Samaritans, Jesus had died for every single one of them. And so the Lord was not going to go around an area, but rather go through the area and make sure they knew that the Messiah had come, because he loved those people just as much as he loved all the Jews. And we could say this today, and we sang it as kids. We grew up singing, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Yet, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. It's very, very true. Jesus died for every man, woman, and child. He loves them all, even if you don't love them. Now, we're commanded to love them, and we're supposed to love all people, but we have our prejudices at times. We have our opinions at times, and maybe even in our heart, we don't want to look differently or down on anyone on this earth, but at times, the world gets us to fighting with one another, and if we could just say this, we don't love every person perfectly like God does, but we need to understand this. God loves them all. And he loves them just as much as he loves us. And so we're supposed to love them, and we're supposed to be willing to carry the message, the saving message of the gospel, to every one of those. We're supposed to be willing. We don't ever look at someone and go, well, they don't need the gospel, or they don't deserve the gospel. No, no, no. None of us deserve the gospel. None of us. And someone brought it to us. And so we're supposed to then bring it to them. So he goes through Samaria. Now, the story plays out that he's wearied from his journey. And he sits at this well, and it doesn't say whether he commanded the disciples to go, but later in the passage, it does say that he sent them. So I believe Jesus sent the disciples into town, and he tells them, and we'll get to that verse in a minute, but he tells them, go to town and get some meat. And when it says meat there, I'm just saying this. It's like they're going on the supper run, right? They're just going to get dinner. And so he says, go and get some meat. And he sits there on the well. They're on long gone, and all of a sudden this woman comes, and having no idea who Jesus is, she's coming, she's got her water pot, and the Lord has this meeting with her, this conversation with her. And at the end of that conversation, she, of course, believes in the Messiah and runs back to tell all of her friends what had just happened. Now, it says there at the end of the conversation. So, again, remember, the woman, when Jesus asked her for a drink, the woman said, why are you talking to me? You know, and the reason she knew that is because she could tell he was a Jewish man. And she knew that the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And so it surprised the woman that he would even converse with her. But he took time that day to talk to her, and she got saved. At the end of the conversation, as they're coming to a close of their talk, the disciples show up. Notice in verse 25, the woman says, and she's trying to sort out everything that Jesus is telling her. Again, you may have to go back and listen to all that, but she's trying to sort out everything that the Lord is telling her. And she says this statement, which is very true. And somewhere in her past, she was told this, maybe from John the Baptist. But it says this, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he'll tell us all things. I mean, she's starting to put things together. She's perceiving that Jesus is a prophet. And she's going, there's something to this man. And so she's hinting about this thing that she knows about the Messiah coming. Well, as she does that, it says, upon this, verse 27, the disciples came. So the disciples show back up. And I mean, you can just imagine, they're heading toward that well and they're going, okay, we left Jesus there, now there's someone else. Who is that? Oh, that's a woman. Who is that woman? And they get a little closer and they're going, oh, that's a Samaritan woman. Now, it says here that they marveled that he talked with her. Do you see that? The disciples are going, why is Jesus talking to that Samaritan? You see, they had that same problem in their heart, didn't they? You know, whenever we get to the book of Acts, and it's just an aside right here. We'll just give you a little extra. When you get to the book of Acts, did you know the church at first had a hard time breaking out and going to the different groups of people they were supposed to go to? Because they, in their mind, they just didn't see them as deserving or the same. And so they wanted to stay right there with the Jews. And the Lord said, no, to the Gentiles too. Even, and again, Acts 1:8, to Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. And the Lord brought persecution upon the church to push them out of their comfort zones. And the reason they ended up going into Samaria and going into these other, the foreign lands, is because God had to get the rod of correction out a little bit or allow some hard times so that those Christians would then go and disperse. But by the time you get to the book of Acts, I mean, everyone is receiving the gospel. Everyone. So even in the hearts of these disciples, this is very early on. You got to understand, they're just starting to follow the Lord. They're coming in. They're going, you could just imagine them walking back to that well, talking with one another. You know, Peter going, didn't we see her on the way to town? Like, she passed us. Yeah, that is the same woman. That was a Samaritan. Why would Jesus be talking to her? And I don't know what they said. I just know this. They marveled at it. But no one was brave enough to say anything. Verse 27. No man said, what seekest thou? Or why talkest with her? I mean, they knew this. I'm not questioning the Lord. Because I'll get told real quick. Because he knows what he's doing. So then they see the end of this conversation. The woman sets her water pot down. And she runs back to town, looking pretty excited. The disciples are scratching their heads. What was she so excited about? Jesus, she left her water pot. Now, you understand, this isn't in there, in the text. But they had to have noticed that the woman came for water and left with no water. Right? Remember, she had received living water. She knew that more important than gathering the water for her household and the laundry and even drinking, more important, she had received living water. She could get that other water anytime. But now she had something that had changed her life and she wanted to get back and share it with everyone. So she goes running back to town and she left her water pot there. And the disciples are just standing there confused, like, Jesus just had this conversation. I guess he talked her out of her water pot. And so we have then at the end of the story, if we just fast forward a little bit down to verse 39, the Samaritans, as this group of people from the towns, they hear what the woman is saying, and there's a bunch of them that, based upon what the woman is saying, they start believing in the Messiah, and they say, we got to go meet him. And so a big group of Samaritans start working their way back down to this well. Some of them are believing because they already believe what the woman said. Others are like, okay, I'll go see what's going on, but I'm not sure I'm there yet. But they're all coming to the Lord. Well, in the meantime, Jesus has a conversation with his closest followers. So we have the context. The woman's gone. The group's on the way. But before they get here, the Lord has something he wants to teach his disciples. Now, they think, as we all would, what a great time for dinner. Nobody's here. We can finally eat. You ever thought that? You might be thinking that now. It's 11:41. Your stomach, maybe you missed breakfast this morning. You're going, man, it'd be great if he would get done with this so we could go ahead and just go to wherever we're going to go get something to eat. I mean, the disciples, they've been working all day, and I don't think they like hit a breakfast joint and a lunch joint. No, it's like, hey, we're hungry. We better go get some food for the day. They're coming back. They've got the food. And it says there in verse number 31, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. Now just pause for a second. This is how I read the Bible. I feel like the disciples were doing a good thing here. They went and they got food. They're concerned. Their master, the Lord, is hungry. And surely he's got to be hungry. We're all hungry. And maybe it was one of those things that we can't eat before he does. I don't know. But they urge him. They pray him. They ask him, Lord, hey, take some food. Nobody's here. And the Lord responds, in my opinion, just in a real curious way. And so I've struggled a bit understanding why he didn't just, in other words, why didn't he goes into this whole sermon. So instead of eating dinner, they get a sermon. Sometimes that's the way it is at our house. Got to deal with a few things before you can, you know, eat. I don't know. But he says, hold the food for a second. I got a few things to say. And he starts talking about this process of sharing the gospel, what he's calling sowing and reaping. And he goes into this sermon about the harvest. And he says, you all know that, everyone commonly says, here in a few months, the harvest is coming. And we would know what that means, that agriculturally, you're going to go out and you're going to harvest the crops, and that's important. He's like, you all know that in 4 or 5 months, everyone's going to have their mind on that harvest. There's not a lot of farming that goes on here. We harvest coal 365, 24/7. But where I'm from, there's a lot of crops, and there's a lot of corn, and there's wheat, and there's milo, and there's cotton, and so I had a lot of farmers in the church. And I'm telling you, I don't know what it is about the fall around here. We struggle, you know. It's like with the fall things. It's like, oh man, when it's hunting season, we're all hunting, right? Well, in Plainview, when it was farming season, we're all on the combine. Right, we're harvesting the crops, and everyone's mind goes to that harvest. That's what it's all about. Like, it's just this time of the year. What do? We're harvesting the crops. It's important. They had the mind of that, and I got that actually. I'm like, yeah, that's how they feed their families, and that's how they then supply the needs of the church. Like, I got it. I wasn't frustrated by it. I was just saying that was where their mind was, and the Lord's saying, you all know here in a few months, mind's going to be on the harvest. But I'm telling you, this is what he says. I'm telling you right now, the harvest is white. Right now. And he wasn't talking about wheat. He wasn't talking about corn or soybeans or whatever. He was talking about the spiritual harvest. And so what he's telling the disciples, and just get this, he's saying, you understand when it comes to that physical harvest of the crops, you're going to know that that's going on. But he's telling them this, and I promise you, I'll get you there here in a second. He's saying, but there's a harvest all around you that you're oblivious of. There's a white harvest ready to be reaped that you don't seem to see. And so he responds, he says, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. And I'm going, is he packing snacks? I mean, I tend to pack snacks. Maybe he is. The disciples, they look at each other. Where'd he get food? He's been out here at this well. It's hot. It's dry. He doesn't even have a bucket to get water out of the well. Who brought him food? The Lord goes on to explain. My meat, notice, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work. So the Lord talks about his meat. The meat, the sustenance, you know, the fulfillment, what drives us and what gives us energy. He says, my meat, what I'm craving, what I'm hungry for is to do my Father's will. He says this specifically, I'm here to do what the Father sent me to do. That's my meat. That's what keeps me going. That's what I'm more than I'm concerned about dinner. I'm concerned about what the Father has called me, and the word Jesus uses, sent me to do. Are we getting this? You think, well, that here's kind of where I was at on the passage. Why couldn't the Lord say, thanks, Peter, for getting the bread, and Mark, for getting something to drink, and let's sit down here. I got a lesson to teach you. And I want to teach you about sowing and reaping. And he might sit down and just start talking about the harvest and the sowers and the reapers while they're eating. But you realize he didn't let them eat, and he didn't eat. I'm hoping you're a bit confused by that, because I want to clear it up. This is just how I'm thinking, and I'm going, Lord, and I know I'm going to preach for just a second about his message, but then I want to get to the point that the disciples were missing, and I think that's what's going to help us today. So first, I'm going to look at the message. What was the Lord teaching them, and then why was he making them wait to eat until they had got that behind them? Well, let's talk about the message. He talks about the harvest. We're not talking about a physical harvest. We're talking about a spiritual harvest. So what we're talking about in plain English is this. There are people in this world who are looking for and ready to be saved. There are people. And you say, how are they ready to be saved? Well, it's like the Lord said. There's times where someone comes and sows the seed. They sow the seed. In Matthew 13, there's a whole parable about the sower, and it really paints a beautiful picture of what sharing the gospel is like. That sower goes forth to sow, and he sows the word of God. This morning, in this message, right now, I hope you understand the preacher is a sower, right? We're here, and we're supposed to sow the word. Tomorrow, in our town, you have opportunity to sow the word. You might have a tract in your pocket, and you meet with someone, and you give them a tract, and that's sowing the seed. And I'll tell you this, everyone I give a tract to doesn't immediately get saved. That it's like a seed takes a little watering. Right, it takes like a good soil to land in. It may take just a bit of time. That thing has to grow. That thing has to be understood. That thing has to be believed. And so a lot of times, we're just sowing a seed. But over time, what happens is, in someone's heart, a seed is sown. Maybe someone witnessed to them. Maybe they read a tract. Maybe they saw a sermon or heard a sermon. Or maybe a friend shared with them Christ. I mean, a seed was sown. And then sometime along the way, someone comes by as they're thinking about the seed that's sown, and they're pondering that in their heart. Someone comes by and they just water the seed a bit. Maybe someone they meet and that someone is a believer, and the Lord's really working in their family. So that person shares a testimony. Man, God's been good. Look what he did in my life. And that seed just starts to, like a little sprout, right? Starts to grow. That's the water. And then down the line a little bit, you know, maybe that person's sitting in a church service and the Spirit's just working all over them, and they come forward at the end of the message and they say, I'm ready to give my heart to Jesus, and they get saved. Someone gets to harvest. Does that make sense? There's people in Gillette this morning that are at all points of that. There's some that it's just barren ground. I mean, the seed hadn't even been sown yet. There's a lot of people in this town, I would dare to say, that never have heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know what the number is, but I'm just telling you that with all the confusion of all the other religions and all the things that you can fill your mind and your heart with these days, there's so much confusion that a lot of people, I would venture to say most people, don't know just how simple it is. They don't know that Jesus did all of that work. And all that they have to do is truthfully just put their faith in him and ask for forgiveness. They don't know how simple that is. There's a bunch of people like that. There's some people, man, they just got a tract, or they got an invitation, or somebody invited them, or maybe someone read a couple of verses, or maybe they saw a video and got some truth out of it. Maybe they heard a message and that seed is there, and they're just sort of waiting in their life, even though they don't know it. Like that woman at the well, they're just waiting for someone to come along and water the seed. So just by you being an example, being a Christian, giving testimony, witnessing again, you could come along and water the seed. There's thousands of people in our town that have heard the gospel and they're not saved yet. They're just waiting for a little watering. There's some today They've got all those things figured out. They're just waiting for someone to come tell them how. How can I be saved? How can I make that decision real to me? I understand who Jesus is, that he died. But just like the woman said, I know the Messiah is going to come. But what does that mean to me? And then someone along the way could come and say, let me show you in the Bible how this has to do with you. And I'm just telling you, I don't know how many, but there's people in this town that are, the harvest is white. You say, how do you know that? Jesus said it. There's always some people, the harvest is white. There's sowers and reapers. There's a lot of places in the equation that you could insert yourself, right? You could be the one that waters. You could be the one that sows. In 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about this where he says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So that neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So, what Paul is saying is, there's some people, I witnessed to them, they didn't get saved. Apollos came along and he added a little bit of water. He gave them a little bit more truth and he helped them to understand a few more things. And then God gave the increase. At some point, they were harvested. They got saved. He says this, it was a team effort. And as the Lord looks at that process, the sower, the waterer, and the reaper, the harvester, they all get the shared fruit or credit or you might say reward for leading that person to Christ. I bet you this, if you were to look in your life today and you were honest about it, you would find that it was multiple people that worked in your life to get you to the point of salvation. For me, it was. It was obviously my parents. I grew up in a Christian home. I was saved at an early age. And so my parents, I mean, we had devotions. We listened to the Bible on cassette tape. No, we sat there after dinner. My dad put a cassette tape in. And it was a plastic package about this thick. You'd open it up, and it had all the cassettes in there. And we'd listen to the Bible after supper. I remember one time, about the worst I ever got in trouble, was we were in somewhere in like First Chronicles, and it was so-and-so begat so-and-so, who begat so-and-so, who begat so-and-so, who begat so-and-so. And I mean, I'm sitting there as like a 7-8-year-old boy, and I'm going, yeah, and he begat who, and he begat who, let's get on. And I said something smart, Alec. Oh, you don't say something smart aleck about the Bible in my household. So, yeah, I mean, I had that upbringing. But there were Sunday school teachers that every week they watered the seed. There was like vacation Bible school ladies that helped me with crafts and showed me the love of Christ and watered the seed. There was an old man that sat in the back row of the church that always had a pocket full of candy. And I mean, he just come up and you just knew you're going to get a candy. You go see him. He's got one for you. And you know what he's doing? He's just showing you the love of Jesus. And not only that, I knew he was always going to be there. Just good reinforcement. I mean, there were people in our church that loved on me and cared for me. And then there was the pastor and then there was other workers there. And it all worked together for God eventually, as an 8-year-old boy, to give the increase. And I got saved. See, you can be a part of that process. This week, we're going to have an opportunity. We always have an opportunity as we leave this place to go out into the world. And you get to sow seed. You get to water the seed. Sometimes you get to be the one that harvests the seed. Jesus is talking about that process. I mean, it's a good message. But why couldn't he do it over dinner? Why just meet the disciples, tell them, hey, put the food away. You're too focused on the food when we have spiritual meat. There's something that the Lord is trying to get them to understand. Notice down, we get our... It's one of these things that I like you to think about it before I just give it to you. That's why I've held that hook. I threw the hook out there. But they say don't bury the hook too deep because then people just get bored and they move on. I got to give you this. But I'm hoping and I hope that you're struggling a little bit. Okay, why did Jesus come off, you know, kind of rather harsh? Why does it seem like he's getting on to him? I mean, if my kids are coming, it's time to eat, and they're going, Dad, we got the foods ready, and I go, hold on, we're not eating that. We got to talk about something first. You see, he's in our vernacular, he's getting on to his disciples here. Well, what crime have they committed? Not a crime. What are they missing? Notice down in verse 37, all that teaching that he just did about the sowing, the watering, the planting, and all that teaching, he says this, and herein is that saying true. One soweth, another reapeth. You say, what do you mean herein? Herein. You know what he's saying? He's saying, right here, disciples, where we are today, is the saying true. The woman at the well, someone had come along and sowed a seed. How do I know that? Because she had some understanding. She wasn't there yet, but she had some understanding. She knew the Messiah was coming. When he came, he'd tell us all things. She had just been told all things by a man and was putting together that he was the Messiah. So someone had come along and sowed the seed. I submit to you, it's probably John the Baptist. John the Baptist is ministering just south of there. He's going through all the land saying, behold the Lamb of God. He's talking about the bridegroom coming, and he's baptizing people, and he's teaching every day, and he's using the Old Testament to affirm that the Messiah is almost here. From his very birth, he knew that he would be the forerunner of Christ. And so I'm just sure at some point he worked his way up there into Samaria, let him know he's coming. See, the seed had been sown. When Jesus met with the woman on the well, he was both watering and harvesting a seed. He spent some time watering. And then she gets saved and she goes back. So he says, what you've just witnessed with this woman at the well is an example of the teaching I just gave you. But there's more. Notice the next verse. I sent you to reap. That whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Jesus looks at him and goes, I sent you. Where did he send them? Because that's past tense. That day, the disciples were told by the Lord, go to the town and get some food. On their way, they pass a woman carrying a water pot. Because she was a Samaritan, they look the other way. They don't say anything to her. They just pass on by. But can I say this? The harvest was white. They get into the town, and no doubt in the town it's full of Samaritans, and they're there to get bread, so they do their business. They're like me. When I go to the mall, it's Navy SEAL style. It's get in, get it done, get out. I don't actually go to malls. When I go to Walmart, you'll see me doing barrel rolls in the aisles. If you see me and I just turn the other way real quick and run, that's because I saw you. I'm just kidding. But seriously, I don't like to shop unless it's Cabela's or something like that. Then I can spend hours. But for some reason, everywhere else, I'm like, in, get it done, get out. That's what the disciples were doing. They came to Samaria, and they said, man, we need some meat. Where's the market? Let's go down to the market. They go to the market. I mean, they're trying not to make eye contact. They're trying not to notice people because these are people we don't talk to. And they're just trying to, let's just do our business and let's get back to Jesus. And so they go and they walk all through a white harvest. And they never see them. Jesus said, I sent you. The seed was already sown there. Yeah, it may be John the Baptist, maybe others, but someone already planted some seed there. And I sent you into a white harvest, and all you could think about was get in, get it done, get out. And you got the meat. But you left the whole harvest sitting there. Are y'all getting this? We don't have to work hard to apply that, do we? See, they had a fruitless errand. The woman runs to town. Maybe she skips. But when she gets there, she starts telling everybody. And you know what? Immediately, people start getting saved. They start believing. They start gathering their bags. We've got to come see Jesus. And they all come down. Why? Because there was a white harvest. If someone would have just said something. Hey, y'all know the Messiah. He's sitting down there. When those guys were in town, what if they would have said this? Hey, we're here to get meat, and so we got to buy some meat. But let me tell you, the Messiah, he's sitting right down here on this well. You want to meet the Lord? He's got all the answers. If you'll just come back. In fact, come back with us. Let's get the meat that we need and the bread and whatever it is. Put that in the grocery bag, and then let's all head back together. But no, they just left it sitting there because they didn't see it. When Jesus looked on the multitudes, it says that he was moved with compassion. Because they were as sheep having no shepherd. What do you see when you look at the multitudes? I'm trying to tell you this. The Lord was telling the disciples, boys, you got the meat, but you missed the real business I sent you to accomplish. Do you know this? The Lord never sends us on any fruitless errands. There's always purpose. You say, I don't know today what I got to do. I got to go to the DMV and renew my driver's license. Oh boy. Did you know the Lord's sending you there for a purpose? Did you know every single conversation that you have, he has purpose? No, he must needs go through Samaria. Can I tell you this? Tomorrow, he must needs go to Walmart for some of you. He must needs go to the job site. Are you hearing me? And too often, we're so concerned to just get the errand accomplished and get back out. And we just don't see that the field was white under harvest. You may be the one that just gives a tract, plants a seed. Here in a minute, you're going to go eat lunch somewhere. Do you know this? You know, we all argue about where you're going to go to lunch. God already knows where you're going to go to lunch. He knows that. Think about this. He saw all those people when they were getting ready for work. He knows what's going on in their hearts and their lives today. He knows if they're having a bad day or having a good day. He knows where they are spiritually. He knows their family situation. And he has led them to a point where they're going to interact with you today. He's got business to do. And he says the field's white in the harvest. What does that mean? Well, it may mean that I need to be the one that plants a seed. It may mean that I need to water a bit. It may be that someone's ready and ripe to be harvested. But there's always purpose. The disciples came back. They're excited about this successful trip that they had. And the Lord's trying to help. You missed the whole thing. As he's ending this conversation, and folks, listen, I'm preaching myself just as much as anybody. I'm an efficient person. I like efficiency. I there's a Christmas sweater I saw the other day that said, "This what does it say?" It said it was just like Christmassy colors, but it said "This calls for a spreadsheet." I want that sweater. Because I could organize everything on a spreadsheet. You just ask my wife. I got spreadsheets for everything. And I have checklists. Tomorrow, Monday morning in my office, I'm going to pull out a piece of paper that's going to tell me all the things I need to do tomorrow and kind of what time I need to do them. And I even know how, if someone calls me and I have to adjust things, I have measures for that too. Make sure I don't miss anything. I'm organized. I like to be efficient. But sometimes I can be so efficient then I can spreadsheet the Lord right out of my day. Because the woman at the well wasn't on my to-do list. And the guy at the meat market, he wasn't written over there on the side where it said the things I was supposed to be doing. And so I'll get through a day and go, man, that was a good one. I got everything done, all my list. I mean, I'm telling you, if I do something that's not on the list, I can tell y'all this, I'll write it on there and then scratch it off. I'm crazy like that. What's on God's to-do list for you tomorrow? What are the things that the people, the situations he's going to put you in, and he has purpose in? Are you going to be like the disciples that are perplexed? Why is this going on? Or are you going to understand God has business with me today? Let's just make a commitment this morning, if you would, and I'll make it with you. To the best of our ability, no more fruitless errands. To the best of our ability, I understand when I'm going to get a part, when I'm going somewhere with my family, when I'm going out to eat, when I'm going to work, when I'm doing the things I'm supposed to do, can we just understand God knows where you're going and he has reason and purpose? And the fruit is there. It's white unto harvest. Can we commit together? No more fruitless errands. I know it's hard to open your mouth, start talking, but it's not that hard. Usually it's harder for us to shut them up. I don't know how many opportunities I've missed. I don't know that I want to know. Hundreds, thousands of women at the well that walked right by and I go, no time for that today. No more fruitless errands. Would you pray with me? Lord, we're so thankful for your Bible, your word that teaches us, and I pray that, Lord, your message would get through to our hearts today. Help us to understand, Lord, there's people today. Today there's people that we're going to bump into, Lord, and we need to share you. We need to invite them to church. We need to invite them to be saved. We need to work and let you work through us. Help us, like these disciples needed help, to understand what you're doing and how you work in our lives every single day. There's never an off day, Lord. You always have purpose and know what's going on. Lord, help us to be aware of that. I pray in this invitation time, maybe it's just that we need to come and we need to pray and say, Lord, help me to have that mind that sees people like you do. Help me to see those opportunities. Help me to have courage, Lord, to take advantage of those opportunities. However you want to work today, Lord, we give you the invitation. We ask in Jesus' name.